Good morning. Can everybody hear me? Fine. Heinrich? Fine now. Okay, just before I start, I just want to say, Heinrich, thank you very much for this opportunity. It's really amazing to serve God with you and with Philip and Alistair and everybody in the office and everybody that's part of you. You guys are more my family than my blood family. And I'm just not just saying that, I'm really meaning it. And then, Liffy, dank je dat je naar die kennis kijkt. Did everybody get a puzzle piece like this at the door? Can I just quickly, if you haven't received one, just put your hand. Maybe not that high, but just raise your hand. Okay, throughout the sermon, I'm going to speak about puzzles. And this card is specifically for you so that you can make notes on the back. At the end, there will be opportunity that you can actually come and lay down at the front here. Before we start, let's just close in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for this amazing morning, Father. Father, thank you for, Father, just the amazing way that we could enter into your presence, Father. Father, thank you for the rain outside, Father. Father, thank you for just your presence here, Father. Father, thank you for the worship team, Father. And Father, we just want to thank you, Father. Father, you are the God of creation, Father. Father, you're the God that put the stars in the place, in their places. Father, you are much bigger than we can even imagine or even dream. Father, this morning, Father, we just come and, Father, we just say, Father, we desire, Father, we burn, Father, to hear from you. Have your way in this place this morning, Father. This morning, it's all about you, Father. It's not about us. It's not about, Father, the preparation that went into this morning, Father, but it's all about you. It's about us desiring, Father, to coming into your presence, Father, to come and sit at your feet, Father. Amen. Okay, did everybody see this nice black thing in front? You know, want to know what is under it? Okay. About 2 years ago, a friend of mine gave me this as a gift, and it's been hanging in my office ever since. It's a puzzle. Are you puzzled? Okay, this puzzle has about, I counted most of it, and I get to about 1,600 pieces. But if you only take one piece, if you only take this white piece, looks like a dead bird to me. But if you see this white piece, you won't have an idea what the puzzle is all about. You won't know about the elephants, you won't know about the mist and the elephants breaking through the mist and this little pond in front. Or if you take one of these top pieces, blue, grayish, maybe cloud, maybe mist. But if you look at that one piece, you won't have an idea what this puzzle is all about. And at the end of last year, I was in a situation like that. I had a puzzle piece that was pretty dark. You know, I knew the promises God had for me, but I didn't see them happening. I knew that God loves me, but when I look around, I see my financial struggles and my fact that we don't get enough sleep. And you know, my youngest son is 6 months old, and he's getting teeth, and that really messes with your mind. But, you know, we get so focused on our little piece that we forget about the God that is building this puzzle. The God that is building a puzzle the size of the universe with billions of people in that puzzle. And I focused on my little darkness. I got so depressed. And then God started to speak to me. Okay, so this morning, it starts out a little bit heavy, but be prepared. As I go along, I'm really trusting the Holy Spirit to reveal something in your heart that he wants to touch, something very specific. Whether it is, as you see on there, whether your puzzle piece is at the moment just full of pain, whether your puzzle piece is just full of rejection, you know, your family, maybe your friends, maybe your work colleagues, whether your puzzle piece is, as I said, mine was just darkness, not sure about my future, not knowing God's promises, but not getting there. Whether it might be abuse, somebody you love being abused, or even yourself being abused. Whether it might be addiction, you know, whether it's smoking or drinking or pornography or eating disorder or whatever that might be. I'm really trusting God for you to speak to something specific. At the end, we're going to bring those puzzle pieces forward, laying it down on the just as a symbol, as giving it to God, telling God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm trusting you. I don't know where I'm at, but I know you are still in control. Okay, so I want to see you guys writing throughout the sermon. Randy didn't know it, but he took my first scripture, John 3:16. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The God we serve didn't come with a list of prerequisites. He came, he put his Son on the cross, and he said, "Now, here is a way for you to have a relationship with me." It cost God everything. He gave his best, and all we need to do is accept it for free. It is not about, you know, it doesn't cost us anything. It costs God a lot. But we can accept that and just live with it. Now, when you start to build a puzzle, they say that you start with the four corners first, and then you build the frame. Are there any puzzle builders here? Nathan, where are you? Now, I want to give you a couple of frames this morning. And my first frame is God's love. When you look at your peace, when you look at what is going on in your life, always know, always look at that problem through the fact that you know that God loves you. You know, it's not just there's a God out there somewhere, but it's a God that's here, that was willing to give his Son for you. You know, it's something really personal. And if God, if you want to buy a second-hand car, you know, what is the value of the car? The amount of money that you're willing to pay for that car. And so much, you know, what is the value that you have? Your value is Jesus Christ, because God was willing to pay Jesus Christ for you. So when you look at your darkness, or when you look at your addiction, when you look at your financial problems, if you look at it through the eyes of knowing that you serve a God that loves you, already the light goes on a little bit. Can I get an amen? Okay, my second border, John 10:10. Now, some of the scriptures we all should know by heart. But when I read them again, it's just like God switching on the light somewhere. "The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." Now, if God says abundant life, he didn't mean, you know, necessarily abundance of finance. You know, one of the amazing people in the Bible, John the Baptist, he wore camel skins, ate locusts and wild honey, but he lived a life of abundance, knowing that he's walking in the calling that God had for him. So it doesn't matter what your circumstances are, you can still live in abundance, knowing the God we serve. And when you look at your problem, knowing the God you serve is a God of love, knowing your God you serve is a God of abundance, you know, already the blackness turns into something great. Now, one of my most favorite characters in the Bible is David. You know, on the one hand, he's this mighty warrior that, you know, And on the other hand, you know, he's this guy that loves God with such a passion that he writes poems. And when we think of David, we always think of, you know, slaying the giants, and we think of the enormous kingdom that he built up from virtually scratch. But I want to show you a little bit of another side. Let's read Psalm 34, verse 8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Sounds like somebody just won the lotto. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear the Lord. The young lion lacks and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing." You know the history behind this psalm? You can just make a note. The same time period, 1 Samuel 21, verse 13, was written in the same time period as Psalm 34, verse 8. Now, David was fleeing from Saul, as normally, you know, and he actually had to flee to a place called Gath. And if it sounds familiar, that was Goliath's hometown. That's where Goliath came from. Now, David's flee, and the king of Gath actually gets his hands on David and brings David before him. Now the king was Abimelech. And David literally had to pretend that he was mad, you know, drooling down his beard and all the nasty stuff. But while all that is happening, David is saying, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Still, circumstances says, you know, you're going to die. You killed Goliath, this town's hero, and now you have to face the king. But he still knows the God he serves. He knows the God that he serves is bigger than this king. He knows the God he serves has a plan for him. He was anointed as king. And he trusted God for that promise. So, if we go on to Psalm 37, verse 3. If we read a little bit about David's life before we touch on that, we always think of this bold man. But if you think of where he comes from, you know, in Samuel 1 Samuel 16, where Samuel comes to anoint the new king. He goes to the house of Jesse. God led him to the house of Jesse and said, one of Jesse's sons will be the next king. He goes there and Jesse gets all his sons except the one. You know, Jesse had 8 sons. He gathers his 7 sons and left the one son in the field tending the sheep. If that happened to me, I would feel rejected, you know. My father gets everybody, but he leaves me. And also, if we read a little bit further after he was anointed as king, just verse 17, Jesse sends David to go take food to his brother that's encamped and ready to go to war against the Philistines. And the first thing they told to him is, what are you doing here? We know the pride in your heart. I'm just rephrasing, but you can draw down the scriptures and go read it at home. His brothers immediately, you know, insult him. Once again, if it was me, I would have not feel that great. But if you read verse 37 of Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourselves always in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Comes to my second frame, God's faithfulness. Now once again, if you take your little puzzle piece and you look at it, but you look at it with the knowledge that God loves you, that God you serve is a God of abundance, that the God you serve is a faithful God. He is faithful to accomplish that which He has said to you. If He's made you a promise, you know, there's nothing that can stand in His way from achieving that promise. Everybody still with me? Okay. Now, how did David respond to every challenge that he faced? Just in abundance of worship. Just telling God, I know who you are. I know how big you are. I know the amazing creation that you made. You know, nothing can stand in my way because you are with me. Even when he faced Goliath, he was about 17 or 18. He was still a teenager. But he wasn't afraid of the giant because he knew the God he served. Do you know the God you serve? Amen. Just another couple of other psalms that David wrote, Psalm 105. For the Lord is good, His mercies are everlasting, and the truth and His truth endures to all generations. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Then the second character I want to speak to you about is Joseph. I think he went through so much, and let me just first share the happy ending. If we read in Genesis 50, verse 18 to 21. Now, just to give you a little background, the whole of the future Israel nation is in Egypt. The father, Jacob, just died. Jacob, that's also known as Israel. And now the brothers come and they say, we did all these terrible things to Joseph. And now that father is dead, he's going to take out revenge on us. And so they storm in front of him, they just fell down before him. We pick it up in verse 18. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your servants, they said. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish that which is now being done, the saving of many lives. The saving of many lives. through whatever he went through, the purpose behind it was to save the brothers that sold him into slavery, to save the brothers that wanted to kill him. Let's just read that again. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your servant. We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish that which is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Do you know why that is amazing? Well, let me just quickly rephrase, or just take you back to Joseph's history. When he was about 16, it was very blatant that his father loved him more than the rest of the family, more than the rest of the brothers. So his father gave him a really nice-looking cloak. And then, just to put a cherry on the cake, Joseph starts to have these dreams. You know, the one dream was that him and his brothers were busy cutting wheat in the field and tying them up in bundles, and his brothers' bundles stood up and came and bowed down before his. Now, that is a dream that God gave to him, and he shared it with his brothers. They didn't take it that way. The second dream was that the sun and the moon and the stars comes down and bows before him. You know, now it's not just the brothers, but now it's the father, the mother, and the brothers. You know, they hated him. They didn't like this arrogant guy. Now, when all the other brothers were sent out to take the flocks to better grazing, he was kept behind, you know, like a rat of the briggy. Don't go to work, you can stay here. And after a while, Jacob decided to send Joseph to bring back word from, you know, how your brother's doing, how's the flocks doing, is everything fine? So he sends them, and the brothers were supposed to be in a place called Shechem. So he goes to Shechem, when he arrives there, no brother. And then they send him to a place called Dothan. And then eventually when he finds his brothers, this is verse 18, Genesis 37, verse 18. "But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him." This is a perfect place just to stop and to look at his puzzle piece. God, my brothers just plotted to kill me. You know, why? Where are you? I'm trying to serve you. I told them the dreams that you gave me, and yet they want to kill me. But luckily, they didn't. They just threw him in a pit to die there. And then the brothers sit down to eat, and they saw a couple of Ishmaelite traders. Now, these traders were on their way to Egypt with spices and all kinds of stuff. And then Judah, one of the brothers, actually stands up and says, "What will it profit us if we kill him? Well, let's sell him, and then we'll make some money." You know, once again, if you just pause there, God, I've just been sold into slavery. I'm going to be a slave for the rest of my life. You know, God, where are you? What is happening here? I'm serving you, and this doesn't make sense. So he gets sold into slavery and goes off to Egypt. And then in Egypt, you know, God was with him because a young slave could get any job. But he was bought by a guy called Potiphar. He was the captain of a god, of Pharaoh's god. And he got a nice cushy job. You know, and before long, Potiphar saw the abilities and saw the wisdom that Joseph had. And he actually appointed him to run his whole household. Okay, before long he ran the whole house. Everything was under Joseph. Potiphar didn't worry about anything. But then Potiphar's wife started to notice Joseph. Yeah. He's not wearing the slave clothes anymore, dirty, smelly. But he runs the house now, so now he dresses nicely, and now he's clean, and she tries to seduce him. We can pick the story up in Genesis 39, let's read from verse 10. "And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her, or even be with her." So he's doing the right thing, you know. He's saying, forget about it. But she doesn't stop. She just continues on, you know, come, let's go, type of thing. And eventually, he lets his guard down a little bit, and he's in the house alone with her. She grabs him and says, come. And he says, no. And he starts running. But she still has his cloak. So she starts screaming, and all the other servants come in, and he said, look, this Joseph is running the house. He tried to rape me. And here's his cloak. Here's the proof. Once again, if you stop there, you know, God, I'm serving you. God, I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm not sleeping around with my boss's wife, but now I'm in trouble. But once again, God was there. You know, when Potiphar came home, he was furious. And if it was a normal story, that's pretty much where the story would end. Because if a slave was messing around with an officer's wife, you know, he would have been taken out. The story would end just there. But God was there. God was busy. And that's not where the story ends. So Potiphar took Joseph, threw him in prison, in the dungeons where the Pharaoh's prisoners were kept. And once again, if we read Genesis 20, 39, verse 21, the Lord was with him and showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Once again, God is there. God is involved. And before long, he was running in the prison. Because it was in the section where Pharaoh's prisoners are kept, he met two guys, the baker and the cupbearer. Now, both of them were in prison because the Pharaoh threw them there. And they started having dreams. And David said, and Joseph said, luckily David wasn't there. Joseph said, I know the God that gives dreams. I know the God of creation. I'll interpret those dreams for you. So they told him their dreams, and he told the baker that your dream means in 3 days the soldiers will come, will take you out, and will kill you. And the cupbearer, he told it, you know, in 3 days' time the soldiers will come and will reinstate you as cupbearer. And then Joseph told him that when you're back in the Pharaoh's house, remember me. If it happens exactly as I told you, when you're back in Pharaoh's house, remember me. Now the cupbearer is a really important position, you know, it's not a waiter. It's literally somebody that had to taste and drink the food that the Pharaoh is going to drink. If somebody wants to poison him, you know, he'll be poisoned first. But it's really a position of trust. The Pharaoh has to put so much trust in you. You know, must trust you that you're not the one that's putting the poison in there. So in 3 days' time, the soldiers came, killed the baker, and reinstated the cupbearer into his post. But the Bible says that the cupbearer forgot Joseph. Isn't that sad? Two years go past, and suddenly Pharaoh starts to have these dreams. And he gets all his wise men and his magicians, and you know everybody can think of, but nobody can interpret his dreams. And then suddenly the cupbearer has a light bulb moment, you know, one of those ding. When I was in prison, I had these dreams, and somebody came and interpreted those dreams to me. And he told the Pharaoh about Joseph, and God came, and the soldiers came and took Joseph out and brought him in front of the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh told him these dreams. The one was the 7 fat cows eating on the, grazing on the banks of the river, and 7 skinny cows coming up, eating the 7 fat cows but still remaining skinny. The other dream was 7 full fat grains, heads of grain, and then 7 skinny heads of grain coming, eating the 7 fat grains of fat heads of grain but still remaining skinny. And Joseph told Pharaoh what that means. It means there will be 7 years of abundance. But then there will be 7 years of famine, of no rain. And he told Pharaoh that Pharaoh should get somebody really wise, appoint him to gather enough food and, you know, store enough so that when the 7 years of famine comes, they'll have enough to eat. And Pharaoh thought, well, you look like a clever guy. And he appointed Joseph. Now, read Genesis 41, verse 44. It says, Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt. You know, 2 days ago you were in prison, and now you're second in command of the biggest kingdom in that time. That is the God we serve, the God of impossible. So, Joseph starts to build storehouses and gather wheat and, you know, build up a huge stockpile. And then year 8 came and no rain. no harvest, just complete famine. In year 9, it was so bad that even Joseph's brothers starts to feel the pinch. And Jacob sends Joseph's brothers and say, I heard there's food in Egypt. Go and go buy for us some. And they went to Egypt, and immediately they were pointed to the guy in control, which was Joseph. He recognized them, but they didn't know who he was. So he thinks out the scheme, and he reveals himself to his brothers. And then he gets his whole family to come and live in Egypt, in a place where God had put him to be able to provide for his family, to be able to provide for the whole of Israel, or the whole nation of Israel will come from there. And that's where we pick up the story again, at the happy ending. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish now that which is now being done, saving of many lives. So then, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. And that is my last frame. The God we serve is a God of redemptive power. Doesn't matter what happened in your past. Doesn't matter where you come from. You might have been in prison. You might have been an addict. You might have been whatever. When you look at your future, through the fact that the God you serve is a God of love, the God you serve is a God of abundance, the God you serve is a God that is faithful, and the God you serve has redemptive power. He can make whatever situation happens turn around. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the greater good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. If you love God, and if you're walking according to what He tells you, it will work out. There will be a happy ending, whether it's here or whether it's one day in eternity. You know, God is not a God, you know, that owes you anything. God will repay, you know, His debts in a sense. There's nothing you can do that He will give back 1,000 times. Did you write anything on your puzzle piece? Any specific situation? I'm just going to close in prayer, and then we'll have the altar call. And then you can bring your card with whatever is written on the back, whether it's financial problems, whether it's studies this year that lies ahead that you don't know how you're going to come over. Whether it's, you know, you might be going through a divorce, or you might be struggling with whatever. The God we serve is bigger than your problems. The God we serve is God over your problems. And when you look at your situation, when you look at your problems, look at it with the knowledge that the God you serve is a God of love. The God you serve is a God of abundance, is a faithful God, is a God with redemptive power. He can make any situation turn around. Father, we just thank you for this morning, Father. Father, thank you that we can just be in your presence and listen to what you have to say to us. Father, I just pray, Father, that you touch each and every person here. That you stir them, Father, into action, Father. Father, just merely knowing the problem isn't good enough. But Father, that they'll stand up, Father, and they'll bring the situation to you. Give you control over it, Father. Father, thank you that you're a gentleman, Father. You do not force yourself upon us, Father. But Father, I pray that we'll have the boldness, Father, to come and give it to you, Father. Give you permission, Father, just to come and take control, Father. Just to come and take over, Father. In Jesus' name. Just before we bring our puzzle pieces to the front, while I was preparing, I just really had the feeling that there's a gentleman here struggling with a right hip or a right lower back somewhere here. You know, the God we serve is a God that heals. If you have any disease, any illness, any sickness, if you're that gentleman with the sore hip or the sore back, please come to the front. We would love to pray with you. No, we can't heal you, but we can introduce you to the God that can.
Hallelujah, let's stand. Sent into the presence of the Lord in worship. Let's quiet our hearts before the Lord. Let's close our eyes. Where we're standing. Worship you, God. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the ministry of your word, God. We bless you. God, we thank you for the appointments, Lord, that your word has with so many hearts here. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you cause eyes to, right now, God, spiritual eyes that have become blind to pop open, God. See your love. See your faithfulness. See your abundance. Rest in your power of redemption. We worship you, God. If you're here this morning and your life feels a little bit unframed this morning, maybe you, as Danny has said, you're so focused on specific peace in your life that it's consuming all your attention, it's consuming your sleep, it's consuming your energies, what you think about, your plans revolve around. I believe God is saying to you that it's time just to be reframed, so to speak. A few pieces of your life that are falling onto the ground, they're falling off the frame because you've allowed the frame to just become a little bit loose. You're focusing so much on the piece. And in actual fact, I believe the Lord is saying to someone that you think that you are the puzzle builder. And so you're carrying such a lot of responsibility upon your shoulders, you think you've got to make that puzzle work. You've got to make sense of it. And God is just wanting you to take the weight off your shoulders this morning. Say, no man, you're not. I am. In actual fact, just make a peace. Come and rest in being a puzzle. That God can move. And God can fix. And God can change. The way that He wants to. And so, I don't know whether you guys have time to write anything down. But I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to so many of us here. And it's a step of boldness. But I'm wanting you just to take that little piece in your hand right now and close your eyes. Holy Spirit, I thank you for what this represents, Lord, to so many of us. God, that there are so many of us in this room, Lord, even as we're afraid, God, to go certain places this morning in our memories. We're afraid, God, of going certain places in our emotions, Lord, because we know once we go down that path, once we open up that door, we know where we end up in the middle of the night, God. We know where we end up, whether it's in front of the computer screen, or whether it is in a black hole of depression, or whether it is in a cycle of bitterness, we know. And so we fear looking at it again. But God, thank you that this morning, you bring to us the invitation of beautiful ashes. Bring before us invitation, Lord God, the God who isn't puzzled by our confusion. I just sense, Lord, that there are so many of us here, the Lord is saying that what you're going through right now, even as Joseph acknowledged, what you are going through right now is the door to the saving of many. You're trying to make sense of it out of God's purpose for your life. That God's purpose for your life is the saving of many. For as long as you're trying to figure out your life outside of the purpose of God, that He has called you to be an instrument through which many can be saved. Whether it is financially, relationally, or emotionally, that your life has been created to be a safe haven. The puzzle will never make sense. It'll frustrate you. So there's some of us who just this morning have to come and just make a peace with the calling that God has upon our lives. The Lord has said that if you want to follow me, you need to take up your cross daily. And there's an avenue that God is holding open into wisdom this morning. So I want you to come to the front if the Lord has ministered to you. And it's when you bring your puzzle, whatever that is. It can be an emotional thing. Can be a fear of the future, can be a challenge. Doesn't have to be a sin. can be something that is just causing a little bit of confusion in your mind. Maybe something you're praying about quite a lot and you've actually been trusting God, to show me. And the Lord just wants you to come this morning and say, I'm just laying this down, God, whether I get an answer or not. I just felt as Daniel was speaking. Somebody specifically, it's been 2 years, even as it was for Joseph. When you were obedient to God, you obeyed God's voice, the consequence of your obedience has been a bit of confusion, it's been frustration, and now you are doubting whether you actually were obedient to God. It's wanting to commend you, it's wanting to affirm you this morning that you have been obedient, but you need to leave the manifestation, the breakthrough up to God. It's not for you to decide. And in this place right now, you've got an opportunity whether you're going to allow, since as you were obedient, some other people misunderstood the obedience. The Lord is saying to you, you can allow that misunderstanding to go over into offense and miss your destiny. You can remain soft, humble, and pliable. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. To worship Him, bring the pieces of your heart, your memory, bring it to the Lord. We'll stand with you and just pray a prayer of commitment over your life. Since the Lord is holding before you a safe place, some of you feel so vulnerable, like a sheep that's bleeding and the wolves are after you. The Lord is saying, I just want you to come to a safe place. Is it?
I was just reminded now this morning when Donnie was preaching of our story of last year. I mean, a lot of you don't know us. We are from this church, and last year we felt that God was leading us into full-time ministry, and we went to Cape Town to be part of the ministry training program in Stellenbosch for 6 months. And during that time, a lot of the plans that we thought were God's plans changed and left us feeling very unsure. And then at the end of the year, Andre heard, my husband heard that that he'd lost his job, and we were in a strange place, and he doesn't have any civilian qualification, so to find a job would be near impossible. And after that, we also had a miscarriage, and that same night that we had the miscarriage, during the whole year, the only thing that kept us going was the peace that we had, and knowing that God is in control and He's not confused and that He loves us. And the night after we had the miscarriage, I was so overwhelmed with God's love. I didn't have to feel like I must praise God in this situation. I know I must praise Him. I didn't feel like that at all. I just felt, oh God, You love me so much. You love us so much. You're so good to us. And for the first time in our lives, we could say that God is good and that He loves us regardless of our circumstances. And God's faithfulness, Andre finished his time of work on a Wednesday and a Friday. He went for an interview for a job, and at the same time, Michal phoned and said he really wants Andre to come and work for them. And the Friday, Andre got a job, and it's an amazing job, and he really loves it. And for the first time after the whole year, after God told us that Wednesday night after the miscarriage, He said to us, it's over. And the next Tuesday, God started stirring hope and said, I was driving in the vineyards in the Cape, and God said to me, look at the vineyards, what do you see? And I'm like, God, I've been looking at them all the way, they're beautiful. And He said to me, look at the vineyards, what do you see? And I almost jumped out of the car of excitement, because I saw that pruning was done and it was time to bear fruit. And the only thing for the vineyards to do was to bear fruit. And I can just testify of God's goodness and His faithfulness and His redemptive power. Because God brought us back here. He brought us back to our family. And we know that we're supposed to be here and that we've been called to be here. And everything has just been going amazingly well. Andre's got an amazing job. I've got an amazing job with awesome hours for nursing that I'm really enjoying. It's so amazing to be back with our family. So I just want to encourage you that this word that Donnie brought is so awesome to see that God is so faithful.
Thanks, Mezzan. Meryl, the two M's, Mezzan and Meryl.
Good morning, church. I'm just responding to something that God prompted me on Sunday last week, but we were in Joburg Church. And, like, this is my home. That's my, like, home away from home. or whatever. But at the end of last year, looking into the year, I didn't have a job. I do freelancing, and I didn't have a job. And last year, God like provided every month, and it's really been great. And so at the end of last year, I didn't have a job, and it was always my plan while I was studying. I did a Pilates qualification. That would be like my fallback plan if I didn't have a job in my field, which is entertainment. And so I like did a lot of research, and I was going to start a Pilates business, and like I just did a lot of homework. And the morning that I printed the flyers, I just had to do the advertising. I was reading Matthew 7, I think, and it was like, "You're the light of the world." And I just felt so convicted, like God is like, "You're the light of the world, and now I want to give you that podium in like the entertainment industry, and you want to fluff it out and go do your own thing and not trust in me." And I felt so convicted. And I was a wreck for like the day, and I, Yao Miao and I just decided, okay, we're gonna face this one out. We're just gonna trust God for it. And this week I was really hoping and praying that I would get the call or something would happen, because I did some auditions last year and nothing happened, and I'm still sort of waiting, and I don't know if God has already done it. But I know that even though it's so scary for me to trust God, like to just sort of feel naked in front of Him and just trust Him and like not do things my way. It's so scary, but I know that I can trust Him. And this week I was also reading one of the scriptures that Donnie put up, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And this is just my way of acknowledging God in my future and in my life, in my career. And even though I don't know what's going on and it scares me, but I just know that I can have faith in Him and He will come through.
Thanks, Meryl. Another M. Mia.
Ek gaan net Afrikaans praat. Hierdie woord is ook net so vir my. Ek is regtig in 'n donker, alhoewel ek het oomblik. Ek was 2 weke terug in 'n gewapende roof vir 5 maande ingestap het, en ons was 'n paar girls by mekaar en hulle het ons vasgebind en alles gesteel. En van toe af was dit was regtig vir my moeilik om Here te aanbid en begin wonder oor sy goedheid en sy liefde en hoekom het hy dit toegelaat en waar was hy in daai oomblik. En vandag het die Here net so duidelik in my hart gesê, ek hoef niks. Ek hoef hom nie nou dan bid uit op plek van seer as ek nie kan nie. Ek kan net sy liefde ontvang. En dit is net so testimony van God se liefde. Ek voel net 'n God wat vir my kan sê, hy verwag nie van my om iets van hom, ja, as ek niks het om vir hom te gee nie. Dit maak worship in my los. Want dan weet ek, dit gee sy liefde vir my soveel meer as enigiets wat ek probeer gee vir hom. En ek wil prys die Here, want ek weet hy is lief vir my.
Thanks, Mia. Mia also stands for marriage coming up next week. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. So Holy Spirit has ministered to you. I want to pray for us all, those of us who need to go. If Holy Spirit has ministered to you specifically, please be obedient. Just come to the front. Lay the piece of the puzzle down. If you need prayer, you can stay behind you at the front. If you just want to lay down and you've done business with God, you can return to your seat and continue to worship. You can go home. Father, we thank you. Lord, that we can be in an environment, Lord, where Your word is alive and where it's powerful, and where Your Holy Spirit breathes upon us, and when You speak to us, Lord, it touches us in a part of our being where nothing else can. Lord, as the old song says, that it's when we're in Your presence, when we look at You, God, the things of the earth become strangely dim. They fade away. So I want to pray, Lord, for Your saints here this morning, Father, as they go into this day and into this week, to know that You are the one God who, as Your word says so clearly, makes all things work together for our good. Thank You for the rest and the peace and the joy, God, of coming from allowing you, Lord, to shelter us with your love, to hem us in, God, with your abundance, to feed us, Lord, with your faithfulness, to encourage us, God, with your power to redeem. And thank you that nothing in our lives are beyond redemption. So we worship you that we can trade our sorrow for joy this morning. We worship you, Lord God, we can trade our ashes for beauty. We thank you that we can take off the garment of heaviness, God, and trade it for the garment of praise. So we worship you in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. Have an amazing day. Those of you need to go, the rest of us will worship the Lord. Come to the front. Lay that peace down wherever the Lord is laying your heart. If you need prayer, just remain here. We pray with you. Otherwise, you're welcome to go. The Lord bless you.